I'd like now to welcome Chris Enos. She is a photographer, and her new book is called 285 Broken Dreams, Photographing Southeast New Mexico to Texas. And she will be signing books at Collected Works Bookstore Sunday, November 20th at 2 in the afternoon right here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So this is a book, 285 Broken Dreams, refers to Route 285.
Yes.
And it's not the whole of it, which goes all the way up into Colorado. It's the basically where we are now in Santa Fe down to Texas.
Yes, it starts right around El Dorado, just past where I live, and goes down into Texas. I just went into Fort Stockton. By then I had more than enough pictures for the book.
What drew you into this project of photographing? It's basically falling apart buildings and signs and spaces and so on along Route 285.
Well, my work usually comes from something in my life. Over the last 40 years, I've been a photographer, and the work changes and really depends on what I'm going through. And at this particular time, I was planning a trip to Big Bend National Park down in Texas. And I planned to leave probably in February because it would still be cool enough. And I found out in January that I had breast cancer. And so I'd have to wait about six and a half weeks to be able to, when the treatment is over. But I was absolutely determined to make that trip. So I packed up my two dogs and my 16-foot casita trailer. And we headed south. And while I was driving, I was very drawn to these decaying and empty buildings. And I'm usually not drawn to things like that because it's a very cliched kind of subject. I taught for 30 years and I saw enough decaying barns and buildings.
Right.
And I didn't feel we needed any more. But there was some reason that I kept noticing. So I went down to Big Bend. It was basically too hot and buggy, and we came back. But I really wanted to go back and figure out what was drawing me to those that particular subject. And by the time I took the second trip, which was in the fall, by the time I got to Encino, I realized the connection was not the buildings so much, but the people. And the people who had moved to this very difficult corridor. There's not much there. It's an extremely boring drive. Some of the landscape from at least past Carlsbad is really ugly. And I never thought I'd see an ugly landscape. It's really, there's nothing there except really dead-looking bushes. And
some places you just wonder about why did humans ever try to inhabit any of it?
Exactly. And I knew there were reasons, but I knew there were also reasons why people left. And it wasn't just years ago. It was going all through a long time period. And when I got to Pecos, Texas, I went to the downtown area, and it looked like people had just locked the doors and left, that they had rehabbed the town. It was looking very kind of new. But it was all empty except for one store.
What had happened there?
Well, it was the economy. It was when this economy hit, everybody was so on the edge that they just, you know, nobody was spending money, nobody was traveling. And
I mean, just in the last few years, that economy?
Yes, exactly. So it was really creepy to think, you know, about people having to pick up and change their lives and all the strip malls, all the people who had jobs there, what other kind of job are they going to get in a place like, well, some of those towns are pretty pretty basic and very poor.
Yeah.
And so it was really the people that I started thinking about.
And what's interesting is I don't think there's any people in the whole book, are there?
No, no. And they're just empty buildings.
Right, but mm-hmm. at the same time, their ghosts are everywhere in mm-hmm. your photographs mm-hmm. because you think about what their lives must have been like in these places when they weren't abandoned.
Well, the other thing that was very interesting to me is I've seen, you know, obviously abandoned towns and places like this all my life. But there was a certain kind of character to these buildings. And it has to do with the colors that they pick to, no matter, you know, they're very, most of those little houses are very cheap to build. There was no expense. Yeah, the expense was huge. But they'd paint their houses, you know, a bright purple or a bright blue, and they'd trim their houses and they'd build columns out of different materials. And it just seemed to me that there was a kind of rugged individualism in the people who moved there to build those places. And it seemed to have a lot more character to me than most places I've seen. So there was a lot that was drawing me to it. And I'm very interested in comparing pictures, and that's why the grids, because the grids have a lot of different photographs of a similar kind of structure, but then you can refer to the other ones and see all the differences within that kind of simple structure.
Right, so the book is laid out where some of the pages are four pictures and then four more pictures on the facing page, all of very similar types of buildings, in some ways shot in a very frontal way, I guess you would call it.
Is exactly.
And you get to compare them and also just kind of get a feeling for them. And it's almost exclusively that vivid New Mexico blue sky.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I'd have to go, like in one town, particularly in Pecos, because there were so many of these abandoned buildings, that I got there in the afternoon, and so I'd shoot all the ones on one side of the street and then get up the next morning and do the ones on the other side just to get, hopefully, the sun casting
right.
some light on them.
There is a sense from especially some of these older buildings that are truly falling down and returning to the earth of, I mean, a kind of just deep philosophical sense of impermanence.
Yeah.
Like everything that human beings have ever put their entire hearts and souls into mm-hmm. is going to crumble and return to dust.
Well, I think that's the metaphor with my illness that drew me ultimately to that subject.
Yeah. And there's a lot of humor in the book, too. Like one of my favorites, just in terms of the funnier pictures, was a picture of a kind of a street, which was the highway. I mean, it's a part of the, it's not a super highway, but it's one street, but it has three different, the road has three different names, and it's 285 North, 385 South, and 10 West. And I thought, that is just so New Mexico.
Yeah, I love, the book is very subtly, the designer is terrific, David Skolcom, and we wanted to put it into sections, so it was houses, and then it was businesses, and then it was businesses with signs, and gas stations. The gas stations were amazing because of that route, and the distance between them had a lot to do with how long they could stay in business, because as cars could go farther, those little developments that would develop, people wouldn't have to stop any longer. They could go farther.
Right.
So anyway, what David did, I said I didn't want to make it very obvious that they were in those sections, so he just put a gray page across from a new section.
Interesting. Yeah. One can. I mean, as I was going through it, I could see that, and at the same time, it does. They do work as a whole. All these different pictures. We're talking to Chris Enos about her book, 285 Broken Dreams, Photographing Southeast New Mexico to Texas. Tell us a little bit about the history of Route 285. I mean, when did it come into existence, and what are the different kind of streams of economic development and decline along this road, especially the parts that you photographed?
Well, there is a history. We managed to find somebody who is a historian down in Roswell, and his name is Elvis Fleming.
And he wrote a very nice essay.
He
in the
wrote
book.
The really nice essay, and it explains the different changes. It started out with cattle, farming, and cattle trails, and then it brought in a lot of people when they built the railroads, and some of them went along those cattle trails. And then later on, it was the highways, and that would bring people in for a period of time. And then there are things like, you know, it's always been farming, but farming is very difficult, especially in that kind of rugged land. So yeah. Farming could be great for a few years, and then everybody would go broke. There was, I guess, a lot of apple farming at one time. And then all the apple trees died, and that was the end of that. And so there were a lot of different, you know, different kind of tides of people coming through for different reasons, but it's hard to maintain. The two towns that are doing well, I think, are Roswell and Carlsbad. They seem to be growing quite a bit at this point, and Carlsbad being a retirement community, that's the way they're billing it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if people know how hot it's going to get there.
Right.
It's a tough terrain.
In the essay section of the book, there are historic photographs. I don't think, unless I'm wrong, I don't think there's any that match any thriving buildings that match the decayed buildings in your book, but you can still get a feel of what this area was like.
Yeah, we did have some trouble. We got them from the editor, Mary Wax, found them here and there, but there aren't a lot of pictures of that area. It seems that people have not kept them. I went to into a few towns and asked if they had any historical photographs, and basically they didn't. A couple of things here and there, but it wasn't all that easy to find pictures of that area.
Another, of course, part of southern New Mexico, the part of New Mexico that you photographed, is the oil and gas industry.
Right.
And that had an effect on Route 285.
Exactly. Well, that brought in a lot of people for a period of time, and there's a wonderful photograph of a sign in Orla, and it says, it's a long way to anywhere from Orla Grocery. And that's in a little area that of Orla where there's really nothing there anymore.
So it really is a long way to anywhere.
Yes. And that's in an area where though there is quite a bit of oil and gas right around in that area. And then as you go south, it was kind of interesting to me because I thought when I looked at the landscape and I realized it was all these gas lines, I thought, well, this is the kind of place they ought to put the gas lines because there's really, you're not distracting from anything because the landscape is so bland. It's unfortunate that they can't have all of the things we need as far as oil and gas in places that we don't really want to be.
Right, and of course there are always, even in places that are apparently ugly, there are always ecological considerations even there. Although the book really isn't so much about landscape per se as really the human mark on it and then
exactly.
The disappearance of that mark. As you said before, the book was a reflection of your inner state as you were facing a potentially life-threatening illness, and now you're at a new stage of your life. How does the book look to you now?
Well, it's a little too early to say, I think. You know, I started thinking the other day about our house, you know, about the body being a house, and that it does come and go. And so I think these fit somewhere in there, but I think I have I've been remodeled. And so I got have more time left.
Right. That's so interesting. I mean, as I was looking at these things, and for some reason, particularly the gas station, I mean, okay, the book is called 285 Broken Dreams. And if you, from what I got out of the title was, here are these houses that people built, and now they're crumbling, and maybe there was a dream put up in that. But there's also very much a sense, at least to me, of this wasn't so much... Each one of these pictures, or at least many of them, were not so much one person's dream. It was like a commercial dream. Like, let's have a chain of gas stations. Let's make money. Let's plug people into these places. And see how it goes. And like any enterprises, some of those succeed and some of those fail. I don't know if that's true, but I was thinking about that because with some exceptions, there's not a lot of love in these buildings, even as they're falling apart. Maybe a few of them here and there, like there's a church, which probably some real heart was put into, but a lot of them were put up quick, cheap, and dirty.
Exactly.
And just fell right down.
Well, you know, I think there was just a lot of very poor people who were looking for a place to live and make a living. And they didn't have the money to put into gardening and the time to put into gardening and fixing things up much. It was just real bare bones. And I think any time we go to a new job or we move to a new place, we have all these wonderful expectations, and some of them aren't what we expect them to be. And that's really what I was kept thinking about as I was photographing. I photographed probably about somewhere between 500 and 600 buildings. So I was in and out of my truck a lot.
Yeah.
It was a really grueling job. And then the worst thing that happened is I finally got through to the editor, and they agreed that this looked like an interesting book. And they said, well, of course, you're going to have to know where all these pictures are taken.
Oh, no, and you hadn't been keeping a log.
I had not even thought about it.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never done that before, so I had to make the trip again. And since they're digital, on my computer, I could kind of tell what town they were in because they were in a group
right.
of others that I remembered. But the ones on the edge between, let's say, Pecos and Fort Stockton, I didn't know exactly which town they were in. So I had to make the trip again. And then I took a lot more pictures. So it was pretty extraordinary trying to edit down to what we ended up with. And I think there's about 220 pictures in the book.
Were there any particular photographic challenges that you faced? Were there certain times of day that you couldn't photograph, for example?
Not really, because, you know, it was the sun is pretty even here, at least on most days, and I hit pretty good weather. It was warm, but sunny and bright all the time, so
yeah.
It's not a big challenge.
Chris Enos is a photographer, and her new book is called 285 Broken Dreams, Photographing Southeast New Mexico to Texas. And once again, she will be at Collected Works Bookstore on Sunday, the 20th of November at 2 in the afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.